Lord Jesus, you are amazing. You're everything that we need. You're everything that we desire. You, God, alone are God. And beside you, there is no other. And we believe that your word, I believe that your word is all that I need to change my marriage, to change my attitude, to change my moods. God, I believe that your word is all I need to make me a better worker. I believe that your word is all I need to make me a better husband. I believe that your word is all I need for every problem that I've ever had. I believe that so wholeheartedly, God. So please start with me tonight as we read your word, as we share your word, as you teach us your word, Holy Spirit. God, change our lives for the better. So what will come to pass in our life is what your word says, where the psalm writer wrote, I will not be satisfied until I awake in your likeness. We pray these things in the merciful blood of Christ our King. Amen. Then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to quarry stone in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. Please give me your attention. He undertakes, if you remember, if you've been here the last few weeks, we looked how Solomon was, Solomon's dad, David, died, left him a bunch of instructions. Now, technically speaking, just so you know, Solomon has already started kind of to make a left turn away from the things that he was taught, because it took Solomon 4 years to start the project after we read. So there's like this pause in between where God told him to build the temple. So we're already seeing Solomon's word, Solomon's waning, his weakness. He took 7 years to build the house of the Lord, and it took him 13 years to build his own house. That says something a little bit about his priorities, where his dad's heart was completely given over to the Lord. However, looking at the amount of men that he had, this structure had to be something else. But what I want you to see tonight is the wisdom that is from the wisdom that Solomon imparts to us tonight is not as spiritual as it is physical. And I want to tell you why. I am a firm believer in entrepreneurship. I want you to look around here and I want you to see how this breeds in itself. How many of you guys that are here today own your own business? Hands up. There's a lot of them. Now watch this. You guys keep your hands down that have a business. How many of you guys that didn't raise your hand now would like to own your own business? You're about to see something tonight in the idea of entrepreneurship in a spiritual man that I hope electrifies you to get you to do it. Because in this day and age, in the climate of our country now, especially with the new administration that's in office, there's never been a better time for you to do it. Then Solomon, verse 3, sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, as you have dealt with David, my father, and sent him cedars to build him a house to dwell in, so deal with me. Please give me your attention. Let me give you a little background. Solomon sends a letter to Hiram, the king of Tyre. Now, I want you to understand something. The scriptures is very clear when it says to not let others know what you're thinking, that you should, in the book of Proverbs, it says specifically that a fool will vent all his emotions and a wise man will hold him back. Hiram, and let me give it to you in a way that maybe you understand if you're like I am. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. Hiram potentially is his enemy. Hiram is not a Jew. Hiram is from another town, another city. David was Hiram's very close friend, and they had a lot of business dealings together. And now Solomon has to see, is Hiram going to honor the coalitions that he's had with my father? How can I go about doing this in a manner that is not sneaky, but wise? Wise. Listen, I come from the type of background where confrontation was like bread. If there's an opportunity for conflict, if there's an opportunity for confrontation, I would eat it up. But here's what, I had an old boss and he used to always say to me the same thing. He used to say, why do you always let people know what you're thinking? And I said, no, I ain't gonna let people, you know, take, I know what that person did. Employees, employers, friends, relatives, I'm gonna tell them where it's at. I'm the one, I'm gonna set everything straight. Anybody else like that here? I'm the only one, right? I didn't think I was. What Solomon teaches us, not only in the book of Proverbs, over and over again, but what he teaches us here about business, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. That sounds familiar. Who said that? Well, if it's in your Bible, it's in red. You know what that means. That's what the Lord said. So he sends Hiram a letter to kind of test the waters. And here's what he says in verse 4. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a temple, since the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then, that I should build him a temple, except to burn sacrifice before him? Please give me your attention again. Lesson number one, Christian, starting a business, don't hide God. Put him first. Put a verse on your business card. Put a verse on your website. If you get business that's not anointed, listen, I am a business owner for 25 plus years. And from the day I got saved, I was so sure that I was, quote unquote, lucky to have what I had. I wanted that everybody to know what made me so lucky. And it wasn't the roll of the dice, the luck of the draw. It was a blessing from God. I want to be known as that Christian guy with the business. I want to be known as the guy that claims. Now listen, you immediately, you guys that know, anybody in business, please amen when I say this to you. You know, as soon as you claim to be a Christian, that's the first thing everybody's going to bring up when you do wrong. Oh, that guy calls himself a Christian. Oh, that guy's supposed to be a Christian. That's how you call yourself a Christian? Oh, you charge me for services? I thought Christians... The only reason I ever started a business was to support my wife and kids' habit, eating. Solomon wanted him to know, as my father David was serious about the things of God, so I am going to be serious about the things of God. If you're going to start a business, if you're thinking about starting a business, if you're praying about starting a business, build it upon Christ Jesus. Listen to me. I do not exist, in case you guys that don't know me, I sell reptiles. I sell snakes, lizards, turtles, stuff like that. My business does not exist for me to make money. My business exists for me to share the love of Christ with my employees, my business associates, anybody that I come in contact with. I want to be a fair, good, strong, successful, but godly businessman above everything else. Do you understand this? Now, to be somebody who starts your own business, to be an entrepreneur, especially starting out single moms, especially guys, new families, there is no end to work. It's not like I'm going to go borrow money from the bank and start it. The first 3 to 5 years of your business, say goodbye to everything and anybody. You're talking 50, 60, 70 hours a week and more. Ask my wife. I used to go to work on Monday and not come home till Wednesday night sometimes. That's how much work. Pounding coffee or tea just so you can get through the, gotta pack the orders, gotta get the shipment in, gotta send it out, gotta clean the item. If you ain't down with that, get a job working for the government. Much better off, it's okay. Hope that it lasts. You know, you look at the news going on, you see the stuff that's going on. Now, you might think to yourself, I don't know, the idea of owning a business sounds good, but what can I do? I don't even know what I can do. Let me tell you something. Reverse the clock 40 years. I'm 11 years old. One of my neighbors, I'm from the city, I'm from Queens, Howard Beach, New York, and one of my neighbors, he used to go up to this place called White Lake, which is right near Monticello. Anybody know? Okay. And they used to go snake hunting, and his father used to take him up there, and he used to come back, and one day he comes back, and I lived in like a tenement building. I lived on the first floor. I was 1K, he was 2E. And he calls me up on the phone, and this is crazy, 40 years ago, his number was 212-848, oh, I just forgot it. No matter, I had it before. No, we did. No, in New York, because there were so many people. Don't you remember when it was 718? First, everything was 212. But I'm older than you. How do you remember that? And yet, listen, I know this is crazy. They had this thing called a telephone where you had to like, you hated people who had zeros in their number. Crap. And you had this swiggly string that was attached to it. You'd have to walk around the kitchen like this. Hold on. Hold on. Ma. Could Anthony eat over? Yes, that thing was like a table clear. So I went up. Joey calls me up. Joey and Roy Caputo, they were my neighbors, and they said, "Hey, you gotta come up and see what Joey caught." So I went upstairs. I was like, "Oh my goodness!" I saw that thing, and he caught what's called an Eastern milk snake, and it was red and orange. It was black and brown. I just looked at it and I was like, in Italian, we have this thing called the thunderbolt. Like when you see a woman, thunderbolt. What? Completely, I was done. I was hooked. That snake was like, I was in love with it. But here's the thing. What are you going to do? I mean, you got to obviously, who's you going to grow up? Now I'm 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. I grew up. And I had this unhealthy addiction for reptiles. So I had to find every, I heard there was in Central Park, there was garter snakes in Central Park. So we used to get on, me and my friend at 12, 13 years old, we used to get on a train, first take the bus, take the train, go to Central Park and look for garter snakes. And then we found out that right in my neighborhood, this is the weirdest thing, I was telling Mike about this, I had this thing we called the pit. It was a pit, or the hole, we called it. There's my neighborhood, and it's all cement, and trees are where you put them, not where they were. I lived in a building, but there was a place they called the hole, or the pit. And it was like 4 or 5 square acres, but it was like, it was a big ditch. It went all the way down, and there was like a couple of horses in there, and old trees and stuff. They had all cut everything down, and we used to catch these things called DK snakes. Little tiny brown snake. You guys still, they're one of the most widely distributed snakes. You guys see them in your backyard all the time. They're that big, it couldn't be bigger around than a pencil lead. I found out I can catch them, that was it. Life meant something to me. And then when I was 14 years old, my grandparents lived down here. I came down here and I hunted before they were first digging the Sawgrass Expressway. Now why am I telling you? I'm not telling you this testimony for no reason. I want you to be thinking about what you have a passion for in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's 35, 40 years later. I live in Parkland, guys. Who ever believed that selling snakes, you could buy a house in Parkland? Who ever would believe that you could... Nobody ever... My uncles, my aunts, I had one aunt that's like a college fanatic. You got to go to college, 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 college. Everything she told us. You can go to Cornell University. You got to go to college because then you'll get your degree. If you go to college, you'll get this. You go to college. I don't want to go to college. I just want to hunt snakes. It's the saddest thing. I remember being in high school, right? And they had a picture up, and we had a guidance counselor. And they had this poster up in the guidance counselor's office. And there was a picture of a guy with a suit and a tie and a case, a briefcase. And standing next to him was like a guy that fixed cars, a mechanic. And he's sitting there, and he's got grease all over him and on his face and all that, and he's holding a tool in his hand. And the quote on it was like, which one do you want to be? I remember thinking to myself, oh, man, I want to be the grease monkey. Wrong answer. That's not what you want to do. You want to go to school. You want to get an education. Wow, I want to work with my hands, man. Hardworking men have been vilified our whole generation. Am I wrong? Hey, guys, young brothers, you can make $100,000 a year to start if you get your journeyman's license as an electrician. Right? Huh? Now, you say, you're going to hear. Listen, point is, I might not have all the facts and figures exactly right, but I want you to know that if you will take anything to the end root and you will dedicate your life to it, God can make something out of it. If God can make a guy own his own, I own a house, man. I never dreamed I'd own a house. I barely graduated high school. I graduated high school 6 months late. Barely. I'm a convicted felon. Been arrested a bunch of times, all that junk. But I woke up one morning. I moved down to Florida with one singular purpose. I want to catch snakes. So I moved down to Florida, and I started going out to the Everglades. I met people. I learned. I went and hunted snakes and lizards. And then I called pet stores on the phone. The string was off this time. Now they had cordless phones. Hey, my name is Ryan Gitman. Would you like to buy some reptiles? What kind of reptiles you have? And I would tell them what I have, and I started making a list. I had a piece of paper, and I wrote a list on it, and I'd mail it out to people. I can get you yellow rat snakes. I can get you king snakes. I can get you. And then I found out there was people that are importing them, and just worked diligently. But all that time, you guys know where Second Avenue is on Deerfield Beach? Second Avenue, they call Deerfield Avenue. Sunshine Storage. You guys know where Sunshine Storage is, warehouse is? For 2 years, I cleaned that up for $5 an hour. The guy paid me $5 an hour to clean up the warehouse. I would trim the trees. I would trim the bushes. I'd pull the garbage out. I slept in my car. I didn't have a place to stay most of the time, so I slept in my car cleaning that up while I was building this business, while I was trying to make something out of my life. Now, I think David gave his son a little step up, thank God, and there's nothing wrong with getting a little. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help up from your family if you got it. But listen to me. My kids have gotten a leg up from me. My daughter and my son-in-law, when they started their business, I helped them any way I could, whether it be financially or just with wisdom, helping negotiate leases and stuff like that. But know this. I didn't have no help. My parents never gave me a dime. They didn't have a dime to give. They had their own money problems in New York. Back to the scriptures. What you're about to see is Solomon beginning a business that did not exist. You're seeing why capitalism right now in scripture became the most godly thing to do. As you know, because I've said this before, up until now, scripturally speaking, all that we've ever seen is the conquest epic. You want something somebody else has, you kill them and take it. What you're about to see now is Solomon beginning capitalism, free trade, partnership, import-export. We live in a time unparalleled on any place on the earth. If you want to find something, if you want to make something, if you want to create something, you can go on the internet, find people in China to buy it. You can go on the internet, find people from another country, mass produce it cheaper. You can do this. I'll tell you my daughter's testimony. My daughter's in college. She gets her, I never remember the name of those degrees.
bachelor's. She's getting her bachelor's. She figures she's going to be a teacher. But she's, you know, she's involved in this relationship. She's going to get married. She doesn't want to come into the marriage with nothing. So what does she start doing? She starts going around on Saturday morning. She goes to bed early at night on Friday. I know that's crazy. And on Saturday morning, she gets up and she starts going to garage sales. She wants to be the first. And she goes to garage sales and she picks stuff out. That's good. She brings it home, eBays it. Starts making a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. Then all of a sudden she's at, now correct me if I'm wrong on the story, I'm trying to remember all the details. She goes to one person's house and they've got like this bag. Is it a Louis Vuitton? It's a Louis Vuitton bag. Well, how much you want for it? I don't know. So she gets it, sells like that. Boom. Uh-oh, we got something here. So now she gets married and her house literally becomes a storage facility. She starts buying, she puts ads in paper, she starts buying bags and shoes and stuff like that. And years down the road, now she's got employees. A child's only 24, 25 years old. You know what, Daddy, I want to open up a store. Well, her and Austin start going around, find a good location. Daddy, come look at it, no problem. We look at it, we negotiate the lease, we sign it. Now we got to build it out. And now, a few years later, is successful. She's not a teacher, even though she went to college, but she uses that. No, no, and please don't misunderstand me. College is not bad. Education's good. Learn how to be a business person, that's good. But if you don't have that, that shouldn't stop you, nor should age define you on what you should and shouldn't do. Am I leaving anything out of that story, babes? Watch what he does here. Again, the first thing, what does he do? What does he lead with, guys? His faith. First things first, he builds his business upon faith. Hey, listen, I want you to know if we do business together, first things first, I'm a Christian. I don't take shortcuts, not if they're illegal. I don't play games with money, not if it's illegal. I don't defraud the government out, not if it's illegal. It doesn't work like that for me. I just want you to know right from the start. Verse 5, and the temple which I build will be great, for our God is great. I read that, didn't I? Verse 7, therefore send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver and bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. Please give me your attention. Now I know a lot of people struggle with this. Being a Christian in business, everybody quotes that you cannot be unequally yoked with a non-believer. He wasn't creating a partnership. He wasn't going partners with the guy and unequally yoking himself. It's okay to do business with the world as long as you don't yoke yourself together with them so that their decisions become your decisions. You understand? I know a lot of people, they want to start business, but they have to do, that guy does this. You don't have to worry about what they do. You just worry about what you do. You can always say no. No, I'm sorry, I don't do that. Many, many stories I can tell you about waiters and waitresses who refused to fudge on their tips, refused not to report, who got called into the boss's office, who when the boss found out they did that, they got a raise or a higher position, a promotion, because of their honesty. Things that you don't expect happen. If you lose a job because you're being faithful to God, then believe me, that's not the job that God has for you. Don't ever be afraid of that. But here he says, I want you to send me a guy who's skillful. We know about you people out there. My father spoke highly of that. You with me? That's what he says. My father always talked about these guys that you had that was skillful. Send them to me. Now, I have a theory on this real quick, guys. I do believe that the reason he wanted him is so that he can teach his guys what he did. I don't think he just wanted one of his guys. I think he wanted, I want him to come here and work with my guys. Code word, so my guys can figure out what it is that you guys are doing, and that way we don't need to pay you guys anymore after that. You guys understand, that's not unethical business, that's smart business. When guys come to work for me, if they're a little too sharp, a little too smart, a little too ambitious, I make them sign a non-compete clause. Nah, you know what? If you're going to work for me, I want a non-compete clause. What is that? It says that 3 years to 5 years after you leave my employment, you won't start a business within 90 miles from me. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to hire you. Also, verse 8, send me cedar and cypress, algum logs from Lebanon, for I know that your servants have skills to cut timber in Lebanon, and indeed my servants will be your servants, to prepare timber for me in abundance, for the temple which I am about to build shall be great and wonderful. He wants their goods. Do you see it? He didn't go there and make serfs of them, slaves of them. He didn't go there and take over like was the custom. He said, you know what I want you to do? If you're down with this program, I want you to send me the timber you have there because it's beautiful. When me and my wife decorated that house we had in Georgia, we ordered all that wood, this aspen wood from where did we order that from? Colorado, was it? Man, the wood up there is so amazing. You know what they asked us for? Hey, do you get that driftwood? Yeah, it's all over our beaches. It's disgusting. We love it. We go to the beach, collect some timber, collect some driftwood, send it back to them. They send us the stuff they have there. I can't hear you, brother. You guys see the lizards that run around, the little brown lizards that run around your trees? I just want you to know that we sell them for 75 cents to $1.50 each, and we sell approximately 1,000 a week. Now you see the green iguanas that run around everywhere that are now eating everybody's flower beds? We sell them for $3 to $7 a piece. Huh? And they taste good as well. Listen, one time his wife made us some curry iguana. It was delicious. I'm not lying. Curried iguana they made us. It was a little chewy for my taste. Next time I'll just take $7 and get a bucket of chicken, but it was good to say I can eat it. What do they call it? How do you say forest chicken in Spanish? Forest chicken? Pollo del... Pollo of the forest. Oh yeah, pollo tropical. Verse 10 says, and indeed I will give your servant, the woodsman who cut timber. Oh, here it comes. Here's the deal, guys. He softened him up. He greased him up. He made it clear that he was with him to do business. Now, here's the negotiation. I will give your servants, the woodsman who cut timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Yes. See what he did? He was smart in business. Me and Austin, we study all our business associates, and we know who's been in business too long. We know who's not interested anymore because they make it a problem to do business with you. They assume, you ever go into a place of business and they make you feel like you're bothering them? Sorry. Who said AT&T?
Comcast.
No. Listen, I have a property, you guys. I own a property. It's 2 acres of property. Going across my property on the ground is a black wire from AT&T. I don't have AT&T as a service. My neighbor has it, who's an acre and a half away from me. When I first moved in there, literally twice a week, I would wake up and find somebody walking around my property. And I said to the dude, what are you doing? Oh, that's our line. This is my property. Get off my... One time, the guy got indignant. He threatened to call the cops on me. I said, wait a second. Here, 911. Here, just call the cops right now. I said, listen, you pack your stuff up. Get off my property now. Or I'm going to go over there. I'm going to open that door. And I'm going to let my dog out. And then you could pry his teeth off of your rumpus. Don't come on my property again. Well, we have an easement. Then bury it in the easement. They think you owe them. That's what blows me away. You ever go to a fast food restaurant and you're like, this is incredible how this place makes money. It is incredible. The employees are the worst. Why do you think there's a line around the block every single minute of every single time they're open at Chick-fil-A? You walk in there, thank you so much, nice to meet you, how are you, thank you so much, is this it, can I get you something else? Like you walk in there, you're like, woof. I said to my daughter just a couple weeks ago, the food ain't that good, but the people are so nice, Daddy. You need a friend, I'll buy you another dog. A mint and a wet nap. Now, why are we saying this, guys? This is how you start a business. You talk to somebody on the phone, and they got no time. Oh, man, it's 5 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't want my money. I'll go to, me and Austin are real, listen, we leave, that's it, bye. Listen, we didn't buy tools at a Lowe's for 10 years because they opened up a grocery for Home Depot and we thought it was dishonorable. Dead serious. Then one day I woke up, I was like, man, I don't own Home Depot. I'm going to Lowe's, it's a little cheaper. But I just didn't like their whole idea. It was like 10 years we didn't buy, oh, we're going to stop buying from them now, save some money. Who was? Listen, remember Dak Tari, sometimes you got to tie an animal to a tree and thin out the herd, man. Boom. That's you know, this is the crazy thing about what's going on in our government right now. And we're about to see, I'm about to switch gears in a couple of verses and show you how this even plays into society as a whole. Because capitalism is survival of the fittest. Anybody seen a Kmart lately? Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah, I heard there's one here. You couldn't swing a dead cat years ago without hitting a Kmart. Bob Hope, when he was alive. You can't. Yeah. Verse 12, Hiram also said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth. For he has given King David a wise son endowed with prudence and understanding, who built a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. And now I have sent a skillful man endowed with understanding, Huram, my master craftsman, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre. Please give me your attention real quick. This is what happens when you do business with non-believers. They want to make a connection because Hiram made this, read his letter, and he was like, He's not going to conquer us. We do business. He's good. He says, I'm going to send you a guy. And guess what? He's half Jewish. You ever do it? You talk to somebody who's find out you're a Christian. Oh, my brother-in-law is Christian. He goes to church. His name's Joe. You know him? Yeah, all us Christians know each other. That's exactly it. You ever know what I'm talking about? As soon as they find out you're a Christian, they want to be, oh, yeah, I think a friend of mine's like, he goes to the Kingdom Hall over there. You know him? His name's Bill. Yeah, the woman, the son of daughters of Dan. His father was a man of Tyre. He's only half, but his mother's of Dan. Skilled to work in gold, silver, bronze, and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen with crimson, and to make any engraving and to accomplish any plan which may be given to him with your skillful men and with the skillful men of my Lord David, your father. Now therefore, verse 15, the wheat, the barley, the oil, and the wine which my Lord has spoken of, let him send it to his servants, and we will cut wood from Lebanon as much as you need, and we will bring it to you in rest by the sea to Joppa, and you will carry it up to Jerusalem. Please, again, last couple of thoughts before I give you the verse 17 and the society thing. Listen, here's the thing. Me and Austin have written many of these letters to overseas customers and local guys, and you first read them, and it's like the best. You read, it's like, come on. Yes, got the deal. You open that email up, half Christian, great, terrific. Oh, come on, get to it. Yes, we accept. Deal. And you'll get those letters all throughout business. That's why it's so wonderful owning your own business, man. It's always like that. It's always something new. It's always something fresh. But keep this in mind, guys. two warnings. First warning is, be careful because your business can consume you. Right now, when Christ is on the throne of your heart and you start a business and you keep bringing things to that throne and you keep putting them down, God, my business is yours. God, my marriage is yours. God, my kids are yours. And what happens is, when your business starts to become a little bit successful, it starts to consume you. And then what happens is, you take God off that throne and you put that business on that throne. And then, well, you know, I used to go to church on Wednesday nights, but I told you I'm starting this business. I just can't go on Wednesday nights anymore. You know, I used to, Sunday was my day, but look, I got this one customer and they have to have their delivery on Sunday. You know, I'll get the tape. Didn't we record here? We record here. Drew, can you get me an extra tape? Because I can't be here next week. This is what happens. You have to be extremely careful because everything that you dedicate to God, here's the way we used to put it. Be careful to not worship the blessing, but the blesser. I don't remember the second thing I was going to say. Don't remember. I'll come back to it. Now, therefore, the wheat, the barley, the oil, which was spoken of. Yeah, I know. I figured if I read it again, I remember. Didn't work. You got to be careful not to let business become it, but you also have to be careful that. Yep, same thing. I'll send you a text or something later. Verse 17, and Solomon numbered all the aliens who were in the land of Israel after the census in which David his father had numbered them, and they were found to be 153,600, and he made 70,000 of them bearers of burdens, 80,000 stonecutters in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to make the people work. Please, let me explain to you what that is. You guys ready? It's called slavery / workfare. Let me explain to you, especially to you black folk in the service today. Slavery was not condoned in the Bible as it is spoken of by the rest of the liberal left-wing God haters. Slavery in the Bible was only okayed if it was done according to Scripture. To be a slave in the Bible was to mean you had lost everything or you got conquered by another people. And a Jew to have a slave was this. You will work for me for 7 years. I will make sure you have everything you need. And then after 7 years, I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff and send you out. Gone. Oh, that's not so bad, is it? No, it's not. As a matter of fact, slavery was put in place to make people who are down and out get up out of that hole they were in. So slavery in Scripture, when you read in the New Testament, it said, slaves, obey your masters as is fitting in the Lord, as is right. That wasn't like you think about what America did to slaves, or more fitting and more accurate, what Spain, who is the number one trader in slavery, Africans did to each other, worst slave traders in the world, Chinese, I mean, so forth and so on. You know I've heard this. You guys have heard this shtick. But there's only one country ever on the history of the world that's ever fought a war to abolish slavery. And guess who that was? The United States of America. But when the God haters say, see, the Bible condones slavery. The Bible does not condone slavery. Not the slavery you're thinking. Not what we brought here. Not what we did here. Not what the Spaniards did. Not what the Africans did. Not what the Asians did. No, that wasn't the slavery. That's something else. They just called it slavery. True slavery, according to Scripture, is you conquered a land, you took their people, or a land of conquered people that had no place to go and had no protection were aliens. And they went and lived on somebody else. So Solomon said, hey, how many aliens we got? He gave him the number of aliens. He goes, you know what? Put them to work. Put them to work. Give them a job. Give them a job. Well, you're not paying what they deserve. No, you're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what I give you. But you know what's better than? A sharp stick in the eye. How's that? You could have a sharp stick in the eye, or you can work. It's your choice. Working, huh? And he put him to work building the temple and building his house. Not too shabby. And then if, and I assume that he would, if after 7 years, you know what could happen? One of two things. You say, okay, great job. Here's a couple of cows. Here's a dozen sheep. Here's some gold. Go. Go. You're free. And but some of these things, some of these guys, they said after 7 years, I don't want to leave. I love you. Man, you're a great master. Well, I don't even like when you use that word. Don't get over yourself. And then you became what's called a bond servant, where you now are a willing slave, the picture of which in Christ is beautiful, because what would happen was in Old Testament times, you would take your ear and you take an awl. Anybody know what an awl is? That's a screwdriver that just has a point. And you'd go to the guy's doorpost and you'd say, no, I'm not leaving. And you put your ear on the doorpost. And they take the awl and they put a hole in your ear and he'd give you a ring, a gold ring. You're my slave forever, forever. And your blood would be on the door. Blood on the door. And that was the first, that was the foreshadowing of what would happen with Christians, with non-Jew Christians. We became willing bond slaves, bond servants for Christ. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to sin. Without Christ, I am as bad as you. But now, after I've been walking with him for long enough, I've become a willing bond slave. I'm his slave, no doubt about it. I'm a slave, peasant, gladly. You guys understand this? Close your Bible. For you guys that are thinking about, considering, praying about starting your business. If you need help, you see all the people here that own their own business. You can. Listen, you start from square one, but you can.
No, legally not allowed.
No, legally we can make that happen too. God can do anything.
Amen.
You guys remember Junior DiRuggio? Okay, Junior calls me up today. I see his name on my phone. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. He goes, and he's crying. Ryan! I'm like, oh crap, what happened? He said, I want you to be the first one to know. What happened? I'm legal. He got what's called forgiveness paperwork. That means people that have come here illegally, before you can apply to be legal, you have to first get forgiven to come here from coming here illegally. That's the hard part. And he's from Brazil. Where's he from? Do you remember? Do you know? Anybody remember where he's from? That's not Rio. Minas Gerais, I think he was there. So anyway, he calls me up crying. It happened. We never thought it happened. He's been arrested. He's had problems one after the other. He had to hire a lawyer. At one point they were planning he was going to have to leave his wife and kids here because she's American. Oh, it was horrible. We're praying and he's crying. Oh, it's never going to happen. Called me up today. It's happened. So if it happened for him, sure, give God a hand for that. If it happened for him, why can't it happen to you? Yes, you did. It's exactly what you said. Actually, verbatim. I can't. Yeah, I mean, So the point is, guys, God's still the deliverer of dreams. He still is. And you know, it's nice to build on the foundation of salvation. Of course, nothing separates that. Everything is built on the blessings of God. And never, ever forget that God is the one that can do it. But whatever you give to God, he can multiply. The Bible says this, and I love this verse. I stand on this verse all the time. In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. I would have never guessed the road that took me to where I am today is the road that I was on. I would have never bet that everything that I've done to get me today has created the businessman, the husband, the father, the pastor that I am. I would have never bet it. So even if you don't know what it is that you want to do, but you just go and work your tail off until God opens the door. And you keep praying, God, I want to own my business. God, I want to own my business. God, I want to own my business. God will do it. Is anybody amen that? Let's pray.
Father God, thank you so much that in your presence is true fullness of joy. God, and I do pray for my brothers and sisters here, some of them that just need to be motivated by your word, that your word, it is truly a motivator. God, and I do pray for anybody that's here that thought that the Bible study wasn't for them. God, I pray, baptize them in your word. May people hear what they need to hear, God, that there is freedom for the bound, that there is salvation for the lost, and there truly is prosperity for those who wait on you. God, we stand on the promise of your word. It says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, you are the strength of our soul. Help us. Give us ideas. Give us thoughts, please. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.